Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Hi, listeners. I'm here with Rashonda Thornton. She is the Dietitian Against Diets. She's a registered dietitian, a certified sports dietitian, consultant, TEDx speaker, author, and podcast host. She counsels clients one-on-one through her private practice in St. Louis, Missouri, and educates and empowers people across the globe through her podcast, The Dietitian Against Diets. Rashonda, thanks for joining.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lance. I'm happy to be on today.
Yeah, of course. And we had the pleasure of connecting with each other about a year ago when you did have me as a guest on your podcast. We kind of met each other through a mutual friend. And I love this name that you've kind of, you know, branded yourself with and branded your podcast. How did you come to be against diets?
Well, the title is really kind of where it just kind of sums it up. And it's, I would love to take all credit for how I got that name, but actually someone just said, you're against diets. Why don't you call yourself the Dietitian Against Diets? And I was like, that's pretty catchy. And so what ended up happening, it just stayed in the back of my head. And when I had the opportunity to give a TED Talk, the first thing I said on there was, my name is Rashonda Thornton, and I am a Dietitian Against Diets. And that just kind of created just the intro feel of like, what is she going to talk about? You know, what does this look like? What does this mean? But at the end of my TED Talk, I say, now you know why I'm a dietitian against diet. So it kind of makes it full circle. And obviously with my approach to nutrition as a dietitian against diets, it's just, we getting away from that diet mentality. You know, we all know when we jump on that diet train, there's the feeling of you're limited, you are not enjoying it, you can't wait till you get off of it, you feel bad when you make mistakes, quote, air quotes. And so it's just a feeling of just, you feel trapped. And so not really understanding food is not about just jumping on a diet to lose weight or be healthy. Food is a lot more. It's actually the opposite of limitations. It's enrichment. You know, nutrition, I call it an enriching life. And so as a dietitian, and when I work with clients, I just said, we're not going to do this diet thing. We're going to figure out what works for you and what makes you happy and just teach you how to do that on a continuing basis. And so obviously when I had my opportunity to have a podcast show, it was pretty straightforward as what the title would be. And with it being that title, it's still catchy when it comes when people are scrolling past and they're like, what does that mean? You know, what is she talking about? What's her approach? So it really kind of sparks people's attention. So I think it works out.
It does. And I love that somebody else kind of pointed that out for you, that, hey, you're kind of against diets. I always think that's interesting when, you know, you just start doing your job and then your clients kind of start picking up on these things. It's even happened with me too. Well, I was teaching my clients these things and then they started like coming up with these trendy names for what I was teaching them. And I didn't even think of it. My clients came up with it, you know?
Yeah. And that's how, you know, like, you just come into who you are and it shows. And then people, obviously they pick up on it and they just kind of like illustrate to you or reflect to you, like how they view you, how they look at you. You know, I've had clients that told me, you're definitely more than a dietitian. You're actually like a counselor to me. I definitely don't ever want to overstep my bounds of being a dietitian, but I know it comes a lot of conversations as to understanding why people do what they do. And sometimes it just comes to just listening to people. So Liz, I'm sure like you, a lot of times, as what we do, working with clients, we listen first. And that's the biggest piece of it, because that's how you're able to understand, you know, how to work with that client. And I think that part right there, again, just kind of reflects what you say. They start giving you these random names because they see you in a different light. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like that's really prevalent with you, the work you do. I see it in all the stuff you put out there, is how important it is for you to build that relationship with your clients. I can definitely say the same about myself. And it's something that shines through, I think, in the work you do. So I would love to know a little bit more about your story and how you came to be a dietitian in the first place. Yeah. How did that come about for you?
I will tell you, it was never on my radar until I say my late 20s. I mean, if that just goes to show, like, you always have a thought of what you want to do, and then like life takes its twists and turns and you stumble across things that you would never have even considered. So I would say, like, just really learn how to be open-minded to just evolving as a person. And that's kind of what I did, because I started off, actually my first degree was in biology, and I worked in genetics and research for 10 years. I was in a lab coat, you know, working behind the scenes. And it was kind of like I had an epiphany moment where it's like I just stopped in mid, while I was in the middle of pipetting. And I just asked myself, do I see myself doing this for the rest of my life? And I felt that it was something more that I'm supposed to do. And it has something to do with people, still saying it's science, but something to where I'm connecting with something. It's like I feel I'm not utilizing my talent, my skills in this space. And so it took a while to seek out what profession that looked like. And I stumbled across the field of dietetics. And I tell people all the time, most people see dietitians and they always see them in the realms of hospitals or food service or nursing homes or community nutrition. But the industry is really expanding, really expanded over years. It's continued to expand because people realize nutrition is needed in every facet of life, business, everything. So what I did was I decided that I wanted to be a dietitian, went to school, went through the whole rigmarole.
So I almost as a second career, that was effort.
Yeah. I got a second degree and everything that comes along with that. And then with that degree, I realized over the time, I realized what I wanted to do with it. So being an athlete, you know, and that's something that you and I have in common. I know wellness had to be, to me, it was a big part of my life. And so I know they go together. I say like they go together like peas and carrots, right? They go together. And so I actually started working within the wellness industry. And then I eventually just was able to just create my own private practice. And it didn't start off, it's more so working with athletes or people that are working out, because I knew they were more motivated. But then after having all these conversations with different people, it started opening up more, because I realized that it's not really, you know, not look. It's so many people out there that are in need for some sort of like one-on-one service. They don't have to be someone that, you know, is an athlete or someone has taken up working out and want to combine wellness and nutrition together. It's people that actually want to make real change in their lives. And so that's what shifted me into like expanding my private practice and touching more people. And so even within my private practice, and I tell people all the time, you don't ever stop learning. So in the midst of my business, not pause, but on the side, I went back to school and got my master's in human nutrition. So I have always continued to enrich myself, because I always said, if I'm going to be a dietitian, I want to create the best service I can for my clients. And so going back, investing that time and that money allowed me to continue to like move forward in my business professionally, but also just my work with the clients. And so that's kind of how my life kind of came to a head. And obviously, we may probably talk about it down the road, but it's not consulting is not the only thing I do. But I really think this life just kind of opens up so many different branches, and you can decide to just take one branch and go one direction, or you can just find a branch that opens up to other opportunities and just really see how it can be explored. And I think as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, I had opportunity to do that.
I agree with you. And it's one of the most exciting things as an entrepreneur is you really can make your job and your business what you want it to be. And I think that a lot of dietitians do think it's like just one-on-one consulting, which if you love that, you have a passion for it, it can be, but you can do so much more than that too. And I do have to be honest, Rashonda, because I love what I'm doing now. I've only been in business for a few years, my own business for a few years. So when I met you, you were an inspiration to me because you were somebody who was more established, right? You really were. And And it's been a year since we've been introduced. And I'm thinking back on everything now. And I'm like, wow, like, look how much has changed. It's so exciting as an entrepreneur, all the different things you can do. And like I said, you were an inspiration to me because you do have your hand in lots of different pots. You know, you've written a book, you've done TEDx talks, you're super involved in your local community, and you have your one-on-one clients. It's like, it's a lot of stuff. It's fun.
Yes. If people are like, oh my God, how do you, how are you able to do that? And I will tell you, I still get my 15 to 20 mile runs a week, and I get into the gym at least 4 times a week. So I still find that balance. But I also let people know that I didn't just, you know, wake up and just had all of this, these different like opportunities. I mean, my business started in 2013. So almost 10 years ago, like, that's when I started this thing. So it took a lot of work, a lot of, when I say work, I mean everyone from literally walking up to gym doors and trying to present my service to, you know, telling the news set that I can, let me come on there for one segment, to doing freebies when it comes to presentation and talks. I did that for like 5 or 6 years. So that's the reality of it. You know, so when you see now, you know, I have 80 plus segments on Fox 2 News, or I've written the book, or I've done the TED Talk, or I'm doing all these speaking engagements, or we have a podcast, all that sits on top of all the work. And that's the part that I want people to understand. Like, it's great. I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful, but I know that it's not as easy to see on the outside. There's a lot of work underneath it. And just for anyone that's out there, that's, you know, you can connect that to your business, you know, your career, your health. If you want to increase your health, you know, whatever that means for you, it takes work. It takes work, patience, time. You know, but it's worth it at the end. And I think, like, now that I'm at a part of my career where I'm seeing, like, how now is so much, not say easier, but it allows me to stand out more. I mean, even let's say a month ago, Nike interviewed me on a podcast. And I was like, oh my goodness, Nike want to interview me? But I did it and it went well, you know? And so it's like, but it's like, I'm supposed to be at that place. You know, and I think a lot of people, again, like, if they sometimes look at the idea of something and it seems so far-fetched, it seems kind of overwhelming, you know, and I just want to let people know out there, like, you know, if you have a passion for something, whether it's just you're, you know, meeting some sort of physical fitness goal or meet some sort of health goal or weight goal or just whatever it is that you want to do in your life that defines happiness for you, just take a deep breath and know it's going to take time, but it needs time, because that's how you change. It's how you grow. That's how you get better. That's how you get stronger. Right. And so, like, I just feel like my life is kind of being a representation of that. And I'm continuing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Perseverance, trusting the process and putting in the work, really.
Put it in the work. But you know, it's good to put in work, because that's how you're able to see what you're made of. You know, it's like Lindsay, like you, you decide to just do this thing on your own, you know, and when I'm looking, and I remember meeting you a year ago, and like fast forward now, like, I'm loving it, especially being a dietitian, you know, being a little biased, but like, I'm loving the fact that this is your life, and you're taking your passion, you're creating something out of it, it's not even about you. It's about others.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, everything I do, it's not about us. It's about everyone else. We're giving our life and our time and our career and our investments into helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a thrill of building something that can impact others and change lives. And then in turn, it's changing your own life, right? But it's, you know, I think too, I don't know if I'm jumping to a conclusion here, but like, this is the athlete mindset of like, I've got a goal. I'm going to work hard until I reach it. You're just like super, super driven. It's a very athletic mindset. Have you kind of always been this way?
Yeah, I really think that the heart of like who I am is from being an athlete, because you learn how to win, how to lose, how to be a team player, how to lead, how to follow. Like you learn, like, say, resilience, all these characteristics, character building characteristics really kind of equip you to be able to face the real world situations, you know? So I think I do really feel like, coming from the field of athletics, like, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable. It's okay to feel a little pain, you know, like, it's worth all of that. And that's the same thing that we deal with, you know, in the real world. Like, everything is not going to be always easy, you know? That doesn't mean you give up. What does that mean, Lindsay? We practice longer, we work harder, we train harder, we rest hard. Like, we just do everything to another level. And that builds your confidence as you're doing it. So yes, I think there's a lot of alignment when it comes to me personally. I can't speak for everyone, but being a former athlete, it's still like, now I've picking up tennis during this COVID. And now I'm taking lessons and I'm doing my little classes. And it's not easy because I don't know it as well as other people. So it's that process of just continue to do. And it's like getting better and it takes a long time. And so, like, I just think it's like an ongoing thing. You know what I mean?
It is. And that's why I'm so passionate about sports. It's one thing to maximize your time as a high school collegiate athlete or push yourself to make it to the next level and be immersed in that sport. But it's about the life lessons. It's about the person you become, the character that you develop. And I love how you said too, it's about the wins, but it's about the losses. You become so resilient, so much stronger. That's why I'm passionate about sports. And that's why I'm passionate about keeping female athletes in sport too, you know, because there's a lot of reasons for female athletes to drop out, you know, going through puberty in high school, being injured too quickly, not having confidence in themselves. So I just think it's so important to keep pushing and stay in sport as long as possible, because it's not just about the sport. It's about, you know, becoming the next Rashonda Thornton. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I love that. Hope there are some dietitians that want to do that, or even just young athletes. And one thing, you know, when you're talking, what popped up in my head is just, when you're an athlete, you learn how to shut the noise out and how to focus on your goal. You know how when, you know, the time is limited and you only have one more play left, or it's up to you to make this final shot or whatever it is. When you're under pressure, you learn how to work under pressure. And like, that's another like skill set that, again, you glean from being an athlete, because you have to be able to focus when it's time to focus. You have to know how to move, you know, left or right whenever it's needed and not freeze up or, you know, lock up, as we say sometimes. But that's how you're able to use that focus ability and push through and see, okay, though it worked. Oh, okay, I was able to do X, Y, Z. And then they just kind of perpetuate you to do, have confidence to do more. You know, it's kind of ongoing, like snowball effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the other things that you've done. Well, actually, let's talk first about your private clients and your business. It's Better Vessel, correct?
Yes, correct.
And you, like you said, you've already said you've expanded your services. If somebody's willing to make a change in their nutrition and lifestyle, then you're there for them. What are some of the major nutrition struggles that you see clients for, and what's your approach to helping them?
Well, I would say 90% of the clients, and that goes across the board, whether they're athletes or just stay-at-home mom or executive director, gentlemen, people just struggle with the food. When I say struggle with the food, they struggle with their relationship with food. No matter what it is, if they want to lose 10 pounds or 100 pounds, you know, like whatever it is, always seem like there's this yo-yo effect of going back and forth. And people, you know, a couple of things, people don't have some, unfortunately, the knowledge, and, you know, you don't expect them to. They're also bombarded by so many conflicting information on which way they should go, what they should do. And they feel like they always have to fit themselves into some sort of peg, which is really may not be what best fits them. And so what I really get most clients that they really struggle with their relationship with food, and it has really kind of took a toll on their life. And I can understand why that's such a prominent thing, because as you know, Lindsay, like one thing about food, it's everywhere. It's everywhere around us. It's a part of every part of our lives, every part of our experiences. And we are also taught with society to not look at food as something that's self-serving, or look at food as something that's for our health in a way that's more of a positive way. Positive look. We always look at food as, you know, it's either good or bad. We're labeling it, you know, we look at it as a punishment, as a reward, as a comforter. Like, we have all these different names that we give food besides nourishment. And so, like, because of that, people don't naturally look at healthy eating as something that they can't wait to do. They look at it as like some sort of torture chain, you know? And so I feel, you know, my job as a dietitian is to really expand their thought process and expose them to what healthy eating can really feel like and look like. And it's actually pretty good. I was, it's pretty fun. Like, I wouldn't do this for the rest of my life if I didn't enjoy it personally. So, but I also know what comes with it. Like, I know what comes with it is an underlying connection of like how you feel about yourself. And that's something I would say about food. Like, food is a mirror image of how we see ourselves. Because if you're, well, if you just feel you deserve the best, what are you going to do? You're going to give your body the best. You're going to give yourself the best. And so for me, you know, I try to help people look at food as not just a means to lose weight, not just a means to increase their health status, not just a means to comfort them, but it's a means to nourish their body and how they're reflecting self-care, self-love through choosing those certain foods that does that. And so that's the part I think people, the ball drops, because there's no commercials talking about that. There's no, you know, social media reels. You know, there's not a lot that opens up that realm of what nutrition can be for people's lives. And so I really feel like that's the space I like to sit in, because I want to give people a different lens or another lens of how they can look at food as something that's self-fulfilling, not self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that. Even as you were saying, even with clients that might come to you looking for weight loss, it still comes down to how are they viewing food? What is their relationship with food? And how can you nourish your body? That, you know, that's what it is. How are you nourishing your body? How can you choose foods that make your body feel good, and having it be a reflection of yourself? That's, yeah. Yeah. I find myself using that word nourish a lot more lately than I used to. I don't know if it's just resonating really well now, but like in the last 2 years, that word nourish has come out of my mouth more than it ever did before. But
it's a powerful word.
It is. It's very powerful when you think about the purpose of food. It is to nourish your body and to help you live a better life.
Yeah. And you think about so many people that live with this overhead of a heavy cloud or a heavy coat, you know, where they've not understood how their interaction with food has played a toll on their health and their lives. You know, nutrition should be like looked at as our partner in life, you know, and the reason why I say that, I just said a few minutes ago, it's everywhere around us, but it's also with us until the day we die. So it's going to be with us to our entire life. So if something's going to be with you for your entire life, why aren't we building a partnership with that thing? Why do we have this adversarial relationship with it? Why do we feel guilty around it? Why do we feel weak around it? Why do we, you know, get nervous or anxious around it? You know, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people do it. So it's not one short answer, and it's understandable. But I also feel like if you know this is going to be with you for the rest of your life, why would you not think of another way of handling it? And that's building a relationship, a partnership with it, because with any partnership, you both thrive. And so back to the nourish component, when you nourish your body with that nutrition, which is your partner in life, that's what's going to help you to start thrive in life. That's what's going to help you to be healthy. That's what's going to help you to be happy. You know, and if we use it as a adversary, that's what takes us down. That's what makes us feel bad. That's what allows us to have lack of self-confidence and have this negative self-talk. And I mean, all of that. So you see how, you know, nutrition could be used in two different ways. But again, we don't look at nutrition as that. We look at it as, this is what I need to lose 20 pounds. This is what I need to lower my blood pressure. This is what I need because my doctor says what I need. Not, this is what I want to have because I want to give my body everything it needs to help me thrive in life. Because food is my partner, not my adversary.
Mm-hmm. I love how you're calling it your partner. I've used a similar like analogy with my clients of saying your relationship with food is just like your relationship with a boyfriend. You know, I've used a similar analogy, which I won't go down the rabbit hole of why it's like that, but it is. And that's where people get in toxic relationships, and they get in toxic relationships with their food too. It's an interesting analogy when you start thinking of that.
So if you think about that analogy, your relationship with food is kind of like your relationship with your boyfriend or significant other. And we're talking about the toxicity. Why do you think sometimes we choose toxic partners? A lot of times because we don't feel we deserve better. Or we don't deserve rewards, or we deserve more. So that's the same thing when it comes to food. A lot of times we don't look at food as our, or use food as our partner, because we feel sometimes we're not worth it. We're not worth the trouble. We're not worth the money. We're not worth the time. And I, and that's one thing I always work with, tell clients, you know, you want to be able to put yourself first, put yourself priority, and do that in the lenses of your eating. But it all boils down to you have to start believing and knowing that you're worth that. Your body is worth that. You are worth that. So just like the person that you choose to be in your life, you want a relationship that you know you deserve. And so when it comes to food, like, you deserve to have the healthy stuff. Your body deserves it. It doesn't deserve, you know, to every morning, you know, having fast food. I'm not going to name any fast food restaurants, but like, your body doesn't deserve that. It doesn't. It cannot convert that into something that's nourishing for your body, that's healing for your body, you know, build your health, build your immune system. It can't. So when you think about like grabbing, you know, the apple or grabbing like a salad, that's giving your body everything it needs to do what it's supposed to do, because you deserve it, because your body deserves it. So again, it's kind of like you can use that. You can take that to another level, because when we get in these relationships that are not healthy for us, same thing, you get into a relationship with food, it's not healthy for you. It's toxic, but you got to realize you're worth it and you deserve better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's realizing your worth and giving yourself what you deserve. Sorry, my brain is going because I feel like I could keep talking about that.
It's like you got to let that part just like sit for a minute, you know, because the other
you got to let it sit.
Yeah, because it's pretty heavy, you know, when you look at it that way, but that's the truth, you know, and that's, again, that's why I'm so hard set on my messaging and my practice and, you know, having a podcast show. I mean, I literally wrote, like you said, I wrote a book about this stuff because I just know that if I want to do good for others, I definitely have 8 hours in a given workday, which is great, but I can only help 8 people. But if I create something like a book or a podcast, that can take off and help and affect so many lives. Because again, I'm just giving some people things to think about, a different way of thinking that they have not really perhaps thought about. And then from there, they take that, whatever, however it resonates to them, and they can dissect that and redefine that in a way that works for them.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So let's talk about your book. It's Play to Win, Stop the Food Fight, right? There it is.
Where's the camera? There we go. It's called Play to Win the Food Fight.
Play to Win the Food Fight. I love it. It's like, here we are talking about your relationship with food, the fight with it, the relationship with it, and also that sports aspect, play to win.
Mm-hmm. You see how that's like subliminal messaging, like how I even came up with that. Like, what I tell people is like, it's called Play to Win the Food Fight. And first of all, the whole premise is anything you do in life, you don't just play, you play to win, right? So in your career, in your relationship, as parenting, whatever you choose to do in life, you don't just play just to play it, you play it to win it. So when it comes to this quote fight with food, how are we going to actually figure out a way to make it happen for real? And so I always say my book is a self-help nutrition book. I just made that up. Not sure if that's ever been titled that way, but I call it self-help nutrition book because it's very short chapters and it's every chapter is reflecting on a concept that we have to start thinking through about why we do what we do. And then each chapter, there is play to win strategies. So giving people like applicable ways they can like process this or approach this the next time. And then there's the quotes in there. I have client stories just so people can connect to it. And they also find as they're reading the book, when they read the book called Play to Win the Food Fight, they actually find out that what we're fighting is not really food. We're not fighting food. We're fighting things about ourselves. And we use food as a tool. You know, we're angry, upset, we're anxious, we go find food, and then we fight with this whole struggle of having it and not having it. When the reality is, it has nothing to do with the food. It's some things that we're dealing with, which are those underlying conditions. So it really opens the eyes. So people always say, oh, I know what to do, but I don't do it. Okay, well, why do we not do it? So this really opens the eyes as to the why we're not doing it part, but gives us tools to help us to really start bringing into now I know what to do and I know what's going on underneath there. And so I can now start taking action. So that's really kind of encompasses the book. And it's really come from years and years of consulting clients. I mean, I have so many. I got so much to say. I had to put it in a book, I always say. But it just really comes from years and years of consulting clients. And you just learn so much from different people. It's like I was able to bottle that up and say, okay, this is what's going on. And everyone that reads that book, every chapter, like, oh, I did that. Oh, man, I looked at it that way. Oh, you know, wow, she put it in that way. Like, each chapter, it's like, you feel like it's you are a part of it. It's something you relate to, you something you connect to. So that's the goal, because we all, at the end of the day, have very similar things that we have struggles with when it comes to food. It's negative, you know, it's negative self-talk, you know, not having the confidence, you know, the emotional component of it, you know, or seeing ourselves doing the same thing over and over again. Like, we all find ourselves doing similar things. So that's why the book resonates to everyone across the board that reads it.
Mm. I'm so glad that is out there in the world for people to get their hands on. And I'll include links in the show notes too. I know you can download it online, order it online, of course. So I'll include those links. Yeah, it's just like you said, like, you are one person. You do so much as a dietitian, entrepreneur, but you still have limited. We all have 24 hours in a day, or ideally 8 hours max to work, because you got to get to the gym, right? So, yeah. So how can you get this message out to more people? And you've packaged it in this amazing book for people. So also, you brought things full circle with that relationship with food thing. So I want to touch on this again. Okay. Cause when I was like, we could go into it more, but then I didn't. Because we're like, okay, your relationship with food is just like your relationship with a boyfriend, and it can get toxic sometimes, and you deserve better. But as you just pointed out, it's actually not about the food. So the difference between your relationship with food and your relationship with your boyfriend is actually food doesn't actually like love you back. It's really your relationship with yourself.
Oh, and I think, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And I think that is the message, though, that you do bring about, is your journey with nutrition is your journey with yourself and self-love and figuring out why you're doing these things. And it truly is, right? Like, so I love the analogy or the metaphor of your relationship with food is like your relationship with a boyfriend, but it is actually just with yourself once you break it down.
And you know what, Lindsay? That's scary.
Scary.
It's scary to, you know, nutrition, the way I approach nutrition with clients, it's really all about self-discovery. Because we were to pull that word food from all the things that I worked through with my clients, it's applicable to anything in their life. And the reason why a company is called Better Vessel, the consultation piece, is because I want to help better people. And I use nutrition as a vehicle to do that. So when they work with me and they come on the other end of it, where they're more confident, they understand what works for them, they want to do it, they're not doing it because they have to do it. All the tools that they've learned, that now they have the confidence they want to be a better mother, you know, a better coworker. They want to be better at their job. They're just going to be better. And so, like, you know, understanding, like, the transition you make, you know, learning about yourself, peeling back those layers, finding ways to create new connections, learn new things about yourself, and give yourself grace, which means take time. You can't rush this, you know, and evolving into that person you're meant to be. Like, that's the better version of you. So my service really is a full service thing. Like, it's all about helping people to be better. And I just so happily use nutrition to do so, because I know everyone struggles with their body. Everyone struggles with food. And like, that's the most common thing everyone struggles with.
At some point in their life, in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
And if I can help you overcome the biggest part of your life that you struggle with for years and years and years and years, you get through that, just think how confident you really can be, how just freeing you feel. And so, because I know what it feels like on the other end, I tell people all the time, it's worth it. It's worth going through all of this, because you're worth it. The life you live after that is worth it. And it's just, you know, you get past all these different things that hangs over your head.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Man, you are just so inspiring and uplifting to listen to. You really are.
Thank you. It's a lot of passion behind there. If you haven't, you can't tell already.
Oh, I can tell. I love it. It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your journey, your passion for nutrition, telling us about your book. Everything we've gone over today was amazing. I was wondering if you'd be willing to play along for some rapid fire questions that I do.
Yep. Impromptu. I love it. Let's go.
Shonda, if there was one food that you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never get sick of it, what would that be?
I kind of want to say, and I even said this on the Nike podcast, I legitimately would say probably nachos. And but, you know, my version of nachos is not the typical full with cheese. And it's like lean ground turkey with vegetables on there and taco seasoning and like sprinkled shredded cheese with avocados on there. So like, I love that crunchy, spicy combination. So I think I could eat nachos every day. Yeah.
And you know what? That's actually a super easy, quick dinner that I make a lot. Mm-hmm. I make homemade nachos. Yeah, it's an easy default, especially if you do have some pre-cooked chicken. But if you don't, like just beans, you can throw together nachos for dinner. Ooh, delicious. Mm-hmm. Rashonda, what is your favorite sport to participate in?
Typically, I would say basketball because I grew up playing basketball. But you ask me this question a year from now, it'll probably change and it'll say tennis. I think I'm digging this tennis thing, you know?
Yeah, picking it up. I love it. A lot of people love tennis. I haven't gotten into it myself, but yeah, big tennis fan. So what about as a spectator? I always think that's kind of different. What's your favorite spectator sport?
My favorite spectator sport is only reason I said it because I just understand the moving pieces that's happening simultaneously in the sport is just basketball. Because when I'm watching basketball, I'm not watching a player dribble. I'm watching everything else. And so for me, because I'm more comfortable with it, that I would say that would probably be the spectator sport I enjoy watching.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. And final rapid fire question. If there is a female athlete that you want to give a shout out to, that's a role model to you, this can be someone in your personal life or someone you've never met. Yeah. Who's a female athlete that you want to give a shout out to as being an inspiration?
Wow. That's a pretty good one. I'm trying to think, you know, like I know it's like, you think of like the more popular ones. I would say a team of women, you know, I would say like the women gymnasts, the teams, you know, when you really realize the work that they put in, the training and just all the things that comes with it, and they have to still come out with a smile and perform at their best, that's a lot of pressure. And it goes from the individual events to their whole conglomerate of a team. So I would say like really just women gymnasts as a female, like I really just give it up to them because we have no idea all the work that they put in to move their body that way. I mean, I can't even do a cartwheel. So I can only imagine, you know, being on a beam or, you know, flipping. Like I just can't do it. So I would say I would give it up to them. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of struggle as far as just what they're giving up, you know, to be their best. And they're putting a lot of work on their body, you know, so I would say them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they do so at such a young age as well. And every level of gymnastics is impressive. But then you do think about at the highest level at the Olympics, you know, there's four or five girls. It's such a small, you know, as opposed to a bigger team, you know, in more spots. So it is quite impressive. It's quite, yes. All female athletes are impressive, but I agree with you there on the female gymnasts. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Those are great questions.
Yeah. Lindsay. They're kind of fun.
Yeah. Like, I love like, cause I don't know what you're going to ask. It's like, I got to think quick, you know, but that's just like genuine answers. Not scripted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rashonda, so much for coming on the show. We appreciate all that you do for the career of dietitians, for all the clients that you serve. And yeah, I'll be sure to include things. Oh, where can people connect with you? I'll include it in the show notes, but are you on social media?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, as we said, if you go to Instagram, it's The Dietitian Against Diets. Pretty easy. My website is RashondaThornton.com. And Lindsay, you'll type that into the show notes. So because my name is funky the way it's spelled, but it's my full name.com. And Facebook, for those Facebook users, it's Rashonda Better Vessel. So you'll just find any of those forms in those platforms and you'll find a way to connect to me, whether it's, you know, calling for a 15-minute consult, whether it's learning about my services, watching some of my interviews and podcasts or my TED Talk, all that's on my website. So if you go to my website, that's pretty much the hub of everything.
Yeah, your TED Talk, I know we didn't speak on that one, but you can find it online. Yeah, I've watched it, just YouTube it, and it's worth the watch.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lindsay. Yes.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode and thanks for listening. But before I let you go, I have free resources that you can have access to right away, right now, so that you can start fueling your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. First, I have your Red S recovery race. If you've ever wondered if you might be struggling with Red S, curious to learn more, or know you have Red S and are looking to recover fast, then you can head to www.riseupnutritionrun.com/redS and download the Red S Recovery Race. See how you place and figure out the next steps to recovery. Plus, while there, I have a few other great resources for you, including 3 nutrition secrets that every elite athlete swears by and access to our private Facebook community, Female Athlete Nutrition. So again, to gain access to all of this, head to riseupnutritionrun.com/redS. That's /REDS. And you can gain access and get the help you need fast. Too many girls and women and female athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. Become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and I'll see you next time.